Welcome to the Now Leading Podcast, hosted by the Northwest District LCMS. We bring a Lutheran point of view to conversations on the art of leading as a follower of Jesus, through valleys, over peaks, and on the waves, following his lead in the great Northwest.
Welcome to the Now Leading Podcast. You know that old saying, a rising tide lifts all boats? I love that one. It's such a great picture when you think about it. If you're like me, you can see the tide coming in and the boats lifting up in the tide, the ones further away first, and then as the tide comes towards the shore, the ones closer to us, and eventually all the boats are lifted up. You're about to listen to Reverend Jonathan Priest, who's the new director for Mission Training Center, share about what it looks like through Mission Training Center to strengthen leaders of all kinds across the West Coast and even beyond. Listen in now as he shares from his presentation at Best Practices for Ministry in Phoenix in 2023.
Thank you everybody for being here. I really appreciate you guys coming to this. Do you know what class you're in? Because we've had constant confusion. Some people are here for end of life, and some people are here to learn how to retire. And that's not what I'm going to be talking about. As a matter of fact, that's sort of antithetical to what this is supposed to be about. But I appreciate you all coming. This is Mission Training Center. Dust had the original title, and Dust's title began with what? Which I thought was a really creative way of trying to get people's attention. This is actually, if I had chance to know that I was going to be doing this presentation when Dust started this. This is the actual name of the presentation, which is Building the Bench. And what I want to share with you is sort of why I applied to be the guy that wants to do this first. So you're going to learn a little bit about my story. It's not going to be long. And then after I do that, we'll talk a little bit about your congregation and where you're at. Then we'll talk about what MTC is pivoting towards. And then finally, I want to actually ask you to help me design new content today. So we're going to do a little workshop on what your congregations or what you're looking for, because that's kind of where we're headed with MTC, which is it's for your congregation. And so your congregation kind of needs to tell us what they need, and we can do all of the work to make that possible. So that's what we're going to do. You're going to hear about why I want to do this. You're going to hear about what it is that we do, where we're going forward, and then you're going to help me actually create content for 2024. You heard that I said 2024, because it actually takes some time. And I'm also going to ask you for money in a really weird way. And so I want you to know that that's going to come down the pike later. All right. So those of you who don't know me, Dust.
And before you get into that, if I could just...
Oh, Dust. Yeah, go ahead, man.
So just to... Jonathan's here as the director of Mission Training Center, brand new.
I was going to say that. Yep.
And we're in the back. And some of us in the back here representing the three districts that support Mission Training Center, mm-hmm. along with Concordia Irvine. So I'm with Northwest District, and we see the value of Mission Training Center every day in what we do. And I'm just say your name and which district you're from, so that people can hear that how supportive we are of this ministry.
So I'm Dominic Ripkin. I serve as a Mission and Ministry Executive here in the Pacific Southwest District. And the Mission Training Center is in partnership also with Concordia Irvine. So that's a tight connection there.
Joe Robb, I do what Dominic does in the California Nevada Hawaii District. I'm a general
Babylon. Yep, that is a good answer for that. So not only that, but we also have another partnership which is significant to this program, which is Concordia University Irvine. I'm not going to go into all the history of how this program has evolved over 40 plus years of existing, but it's really cool when you can get three districts to align up with the university. It's really strange, and if there's one thing you walk away with, that very fact that that's happened is pretty amazing. Not only that, but we have buy-in from the Southeast District and the Atlantic District, and so this is pretty kind of a cool thing. The Michigan District is doing something similar to this, so this is not a little thing that's going on. This is really in the initial stages of something that could become the go-to platform. And you'll hear more about that later. But first, let me just tell you about myself a little bit. I was a pastor at the Lutheran Church of St. John the Evangelist in Brooklyn, New York. I grew up in Michigan. I was born and raised Seventh-day Adventist. My dad read the Large Catechism and didn't melt. And he became a Lutheran because of that. I was sent to a Black Hispanic urban congregation that had a huge campus and no bench of leadership that was really there to help me figure out what to do. I had an apartment building with 8 units. I had a school, a K-8 school. I had a church that was built in 1883 and was gigantamus. And then finally, I also had a parsonage, which had the church office and my apartment in it, and it was supposed to also be housing for another staff person. And I'm a single pastor, fresh out of the seminary, and my task is to figure out how to do all of this without very many people that have active leadership in the congregation. Does that sound a little intimidating to you? You know, we had people that would come to church, and they would sit in the pews, and then they would leave, and then they would go home. And then it's my job to figure out how to work with the principal, how to deal with property management, how to deal with the city codes. It's my job also to like be a missional pastor because, you know, you're supposed to be missional. I also have to deal with Black and Hispanic and old school Italian veto, you know, kind of things like Tony Soprano, right? Because that's the neighborhood. And I'm in and out of the projects. I also have hipsters that are moving into my neighborhood and gentrification. Does this sound a little overwhelming to you? This was really overwhelming to me, except that I was also 24 and didn't know any better. And I thought I could do this. And I failed in many ways, in many capacities. And that's primarily, this is how I actually felt. I felt like I was always sinking underwater. And I didn't have a team of people in my congregation that I knew how to lean on. Also, no offense, but I wasn't trained to learn how to lean on a team as a pastor. I was trained that your job is word and sacrament, and you have to do everything else to try to make that happen because it's you. So I had a cultural mindset that was against me. I had a physical property mindset that was against me, and it was very overwhelming. Do any of you, have you ever felt like this same situation in your own congregation?
Yeah.
Nobody's saying yes, so I guess I'm the only person that's ever experienced this. Yeah, and this is me as a pastor, right? And I'll be frank with you, I'm not a pastor right now on purpose because of this program and what we did. So there was a guy in the Atlanta district by the name of David Bourne, and he came in and he was like, you know, what we could do is we could like take the first 10 courses of Delto, and instead of training people to be pastors, we could run those people through those classes locally with local pastors and an instructor, and we could start building the bench of lay people in the congregation. And I came alongside and was asked to be the coordinator for this program in New York City. And what I loved about this was it didn't make me feel like a superhero. This is the wrong model. The pastor is not the superhero of the congregation. So this is where I'm coming from. What it did is it enabled lay people to feel like this. And it helped us tremendously. And so what I'm going to talk about is important. Do you understand why I'm so passionate about this? Because my passion is going to come way over the top. You're going to think I'm overly enthusiastic because I'm trying to sell this. But it's literally from a place of pain and suffering. And Lutherans, you get that, right? You know, tentatio, right? You know, struggle, meditatio, overly obsessing with anxiety. And then also oratio, praying to God, please rescue me from this. So God did that. And over the course of my entire pastoral career, he kept putting me in relationship with people so that I could be where I am right now. So I want to tell you one more time and then I'll stop. I really think that you should take this seriously. And I think you should think about this in your congregations. And please just go with me on this little journey as we talk about the MTC. Our goal is to move people out of these pews and onto the bench of your team in the congregation. And the way we do that is by helping them hang out with other people who are experiencing that, helping them hang out with an instructor who knows what they're dealing with and who's targeted to help them, and a curriculum that's been designed by people at Irvine and at the local level in partnership together to figure out how they can take the content that we're giving them and make it contextual for your own congregation. I'll talk more about what that content looks like in a second. Are you in a similar situation? Just please, yes. The district knows they're in a similar situation, so the back row can be quiet. But are you? Do you feel like this as well? How many of you are like not pastors? Okay, that's not well. That's good. Maybe next year you can have not pastors come be here too, because it's really important to have not pastors get this. I'm not trying to solve the pastor's problem here. What I'm trying to do is empower these people in this pew to come alongside you. One of the analogies I'll use later in this is, if the pastor's a quarterback, but he's the only person that ever has possession of the ball, there's only so many times he can run down the field before he gets sacked. The pastor needs a wide receiver, defensive lineman. They need the coach. They need the physical trainers. They need a whole crew of people. As a matter of fact, that's how the game gets won. So if you're in a similar situation, Mission Training Center exists for you. And not only that, we're not going to like come to you with a platter and be like, this is what you need to do. No, you as a congregation, you as a pastor are going to come to us and say, my congregation leaders are asking for this kind of content. Can you please develop that for me so that then they can go online and get that content and they're supported by my congregation and they can go and do the things that I don't have the capacity to do. So you're part of the process of content formation here. We'll do the back end. We'll pay that instructor. I'm getting ahead of myself. So those are the people that we care about, the people on the bench of your congregation. And let's do that. How does MTC do that? Well, here's the process. If our goal is to build the bench, first, we want to have a mindset in your congregation where there's a culture in your congregation that says when people walk in the door, hey, thank you for being here. We want to nurture you. We want to feed you. We also want to understand what it is that you like to do and how that gets done. And we want to incorporate your gifts into the congregation's matrix. So how did that happen in my church in Brooklyn? It was really simple. I had a lot of musicians. I had a lot of artists. Hey, let's start working with you guys and seeing what that means liturgically. Let's see what that means for us in the architecture of our space. We actually designed with our team an immersive dance theater program, and it became an off-Broadway hit of all things, like Neil Patrick Harris, Hugh Jackman, blah, blah, blah. Those kinds of people came to our thing. But again, the mindset is what my point is. Welcoming people and their gifts into the congregation and cultivating that attitude of wanting people to step forward when they're ready. And if they don't feel ready, giving them a pipeline to do that. How does that pipeline go? Well, it goes like this. We connect them with instructors and teachers online. Those instructors and teachers come from the breadth and the depth of the people of the Missouri Synod. Notice I didn't just say pastors, right? In my congregation, I was in Seattle, where I was in Seattle. We had several partnering agencies that I had inherited. So we had a cooperative preschool, a secular cooperative preschool, and we had five different ministry organizations that were using our campus ministry building. And it was my job to figure out how to negotiate usage agreements with these organizations. I guarantee you, I never took a business class at the seminary. All right? But my congregational president was a Harvard Business School graduate. He had never been asked to contribute any of those gifts or those talents. I mean, he did his job as the president. And I was telling him one day, I was like, man, I'm like freaking out here. I don't know how to walk into a room with these people, and they're upset at me, and I'm upset at them, and we're angry about how this space is getting used. And he taught me. He's like, well, yeah, you know, I know what I'm doing, Pastor. I'm surprised you never asked me this. But why don't I just come into the room with you? And he came into the room with me. And he's like, hey, my name's Lee. Before we talk about anything, I want to tell you about my family and like why I'm here and where we're at and what's your family like? And that little simple like way of talking with people changed every partnership that we had in the congregation. That's a guy that should be teaching. You understand what I'm trying to say? So we don't just want pastors to teach these classes. If you are good at something, if you're good at being a congregational president in a variety of locations across the United States, maybe you're one of the instructors that we'll cultivate in the future. You understand what I'm trying to say? That's the idea of MTC. So we have a mindset that we want to welcome people's gifts, and we're also identifying the capable people in our congregations, whether that's a pastor or a lay person. Hey, Neil, I love you, man.
Peace.
Neil's part of my story from back in the day in the Atlantic District. We want to find good instructors, and we want those people to be the instructors for the lay people in your congregation. And how does that get delivered? Well, it gets delivered in an online platform. Right now, what we do, you may already know about this with the Mission Training Center. Right now, we use Zoom. Zoom is the way it works. People sign up for a class. We match them with other people that are signing up for that class. We have an instructor who is good at what they do, and they are good at teaching online. We have a curriculum that's been designed in collaboration with Concordia Irvine, and that curriculum is open for anybody to use. Like, you can go and get our syllabuses right now and do it yourself if you want, but we're going to do a couple things. We're going to make sure that the Zoom interface is working. We're going to make sure that the students are ready to go, that they have the materials that they're ready to work with. We're going to have a teacher that works with them and meets with them on a weekly basis, and they're going to feel empowered and confident at the end of that time to do that thing or to be a, to know that material. Let me give you a case example of how this could work. Let's say that you're a Missouri Synod school, and you have the same problem that all Missouri Synod schools have right now, which is, okay, I get no called rostered Lutheran school teachers. So we're hiring people from other fields to be teachers, and they don't know what it means to be in a Lutheran teaching context. Hey, I don't have time as a principal or as a pastor to run you all through this, but what I can do is I can attach you to the Christian doctrine class in MTC, and suddenly they now understand the Lutheran language, and they know why we don't just talk about the glory of God as a sovereign thing, but the glory of God in Christ Jesus dying for us, sacramental sacrificial theology. So that's a case example of how this could work. Or, for example, another way that it could work would be, hey, we have people that are gifted financially in our congregation, but they've never done finances in a church setting, right? So why don't we find somebody who's really good at congregational finance and who actually understands the synodical treasurer's handbook? But they also understand that budget is about mission and that money follows vision. And they also understand about property management and dealing with IRS regulations that, and how to make that work. That instructor then meets with your church treasurer. Or you got elders in a congregation and they're like, Pastor, we don't know what to do. I want you guys to learn about caregiving. So we attach them up to that. So that's how this works. Does that make sense to you? Is that something that would be helpful for you all in your congregations, especially the church finance one, because I hated that part. But, you know, that's the kind of stuff. Matter of fact, you know, the districts want this. That's why they're in the room right now. You realize that the districts literally have your back right now? Thank you for being here, President Gibson, and President Lang. Mike, you're the tallest guy in the room, and yet I can't see you from where you are. There you are. Oh, you got the kindergarten chair, man. So he's got my back because he's my DP and my where I live. And then President Gibson's got my back because I work with him. And then the Northwest District has my back as well because I come from there. So it's a lot of homeboys in the room. Sorry. Anyways, so here's the content that MTC currently provides. Biblical knowledge and framework. So you got somebody that wants to teach Bible class in your church or lead devotional groups. Hey, man, why don't you just get a better perspective on how the OT, we already know you know it, but why don't you get a better perspective on the OT in the New Testament and how Lutheran doctrine works? Oh, you want to be a teacher? Here's Lutheran pedagogy. Here's how to start a Sunday school. Here's how to start a ministry that's revolved around teaching. We've got classes on teaching the faith. You want to create, you want to do caregiving, for example, spiritual care in the congregation. You want to start a new ministry, knowing and engaging your community. And all of our instructors are people who have done this and done it well. Music, creating content for worship. And this isn't just about leading worship. I want to get out of that mentality. You know, I used to have people come to the program in Brooklyn like, yeah, I'm going to get up in front. I'm going to lead worship. I'm like, that's not what I'm looking for, man. It's great, but it's not about you. What I really would like you to do is to form a team where we can create worship, where we can design new hymns, design ways in which people can access our worship. You know, and we did that in Brooklyn. As a matter of fact, one of the results of our version was that there are hymns in the hymnal, Missouri Synod hymnal, that come from St. John the Evangelist Lutheran Church in Brooklyn. Matter of fact, Divine Service 4, I'm bragging, I apologize, but I'm trying to tell you about this program. Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. Divine Service 4, that's St. John the Evangelist in Brooklyn. And it comes from a process of guiding people through this kind of content, welcoming their gifts, and getting them to think this way. Administration, that was the one that I was, that's the one I really needed as a pastor. So this is the kind of classes that we teach. I want you to notice that there's a couple things that we don't teach, and this is really important for you to understand going forward with MTC. We don't do that, that, or that. We don't do pastors. So we're not training people to be pastors. If somebody comes to me and says, oh yeah, you know, I need somebody to be a pastor in my congregation, I'm like, that is a different thing for us. Like, we don't do that. We want to build your congregation's bench, and we want to train people to be able to work with pastors in concert, to dance with their pastors as they go out and reach the lost, to enhance that congregation's ministry. That's our goal. Which means, by the way, that if a person in your congregation just does this, but they don't understand that, that's bad. Like if they say, oh yeah, I took all these classes, pastor, so now I'm a lay leader. That's not helpful. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for somebody that's been supported by your congregation, that you are their coach, because we don't do coaching, we just do the instruction, and that they can come back to you and be like, this is what I learned, and this is how I'm growing, and then the congregation's like, yeah, man, and the pastor's like, thank you, God, you know, I don't have to do this anymore, and I get to have them do it, and I get to work with them, because we have a similar grammar together. Huh. Question? Okay. Yeah, Leon, I love you, man.
This is all, we do this in New York, or is it going to be kind of hours different kind of thing, or how does it, everybody gets on the Zoom class and watches it together kind of thing?
Yeah, right now. Yep. We'll talk more about where it's going at the end. And you know that I did this in the New York metro area.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so that's why I want to do it now, man.
Four people in my church that need to do this now.
Yeah, and Dave Binky and I are also talking with Stanek. Sorry, this is district level. We'll get out of that again. Anyway, so these are the partners, and Dust mentioned this, but not all of you are in the room. So this is Mission Training Center. It's not a 501c3 entity. We don't actually exist anywhere in the real world. We're just online for people who are doing this, but we are supported by real entities. First and foremost, the Northwest District. They had this at Portland for a time and a season. And before that, it was the LAP program, Leadership Advancement something or other, correct? Yep, Leadership Advancement Process. Many of our instructors are from the Northwest District, and many people have gone through this from the Northwest District. Pacific Southwest, after Portland closed, just to give you some of the history, it came to the Pacific Southwest, and they are all in on this. Like, there's an org chart literally in the Pacific Southwest District office, and under Mike Gibson's things that he has to do, we're like number three on the list, you know? So, what? I'm right, man. I looked at that. I got a picture for evidence. So, CNH District, California, Nevada, Hawaii District. Did you know that the three West Coast district presidents hang out together on Monday and talk about life and things and pray? Did you know that? That's like what Synod was supposed to be back in the day. And it still happens. They're all in on this. That's why they're in the room. And that says something to me. It's not a district thing anymore. It's a congregational thing. All of the congregations in here want this so much, and the districts recognize it. And so they want this to be available. So they have your back on this. They're investing time, money, and resources and attention into it. And then finally, Irvine, and that's the wrong logo, but that's because the new logo didn't load on the page, and I had to put something up. Irvine is hardcore invested in this. When I was in the room with the three district presidents in January and President Michael Thomas and Steve Mueller, we were literally brainstorming this together, and it was a really cool feeling in the room. So you've got an educational institution and all of the people that represent your congregations, they want this for you. So they don't want this to fail, and they want you to be involved in it because they know that you need it. Any things that you wanted to say right now? Neil, do you want to come hard? Okay.
I'm waiting. I got lots of questions, but you're probably going to cover them all.
I don't know. So what can you do? So here's one of the things that I want to mention, and I won't cover them all. So what can you do? One of the things that I really like you to think about, and I told you I was going to ask for money. One of the things that I'd like you to think about is I don't want you to give me money at all. I want your congregation to give itself some money. I want you to think about, when I was a pastor in my second congregation, they had a line for continuing education, which I felt very guilty about using. So I thought we should use it for this stuff. Why don't we just flip the budget education? Because I can always continue to educate myself and hang out with my buddies and shoot the breeze and go to conferences. But why not give an access point for somebody in my congregation? There's this huge pipeline of talent in my congregation. Why don't I say we have a budget line item for professional development so that when somebody comes on board as a council member, oh, hey, Joe, thanks for being the new council person or the new elder. We're going to pay for you to take this class, man. And it's not because we think you have to do it to be an elder. It's the opposite. So we want to invest in you because we care about you and we know that you want to do this too. So why don't we put our money as a congregation behind this? So that's my ask for money. I don't want you to give me any money. I want your congregation to identify the opportunity to be able to afford one of these classes and put it as a budget line item. You know, that might be a huge game changer for you if you build a culture of that every year. Somebody on boards, they get to take one of these classes. How has this been used in the past? That's a good segue point here. In the past, people have come to our program and have gotten so, have come to the center and have gotten so involved in it that they jumped ship and went to SMP program and became pastors. Some people go into the DCE program as a result. And that's great. But we want to build the bench of your enlisted people. The backbone of the army is the enlisted man. That's what Kipling's poem says. You know, so you got officers? Great. We need to build your backbone. And how you do that is by investing in it. Okay, so what have we talked about? We're not the quarterback. Our job is to build your defensive line and everything else. There's a huge pipeline of talent in your congregation. And this is a way that you can tap into it by checking out our website and putting a budget line item and encouraging your people to take these classes after having identified what they want to do. You obviously got to pray about it and have teamwork. And there's your budget line item. All right, enough. What do you need in your congregations? What do you really need? Like, if there was one class that your congregation needed right now, take a second. What is it you really need? Is it elders? Is it somebody that starts a new ministry? But not what do you want. And did you hear what I just said? Not what do you want. What do you need? What is it that you really need in your congregation right now? I'll pick on the guy that's the congregational president first. Love you, man. Oh, you don't got nothing? We don't need anything. So, do you guys have something that you need?
Yeah, we certainly need how to build a new ministry.
So you want to start something, and you need somebody that knows how to organize for that opportunity.
Fantastic mission field there. But
yeah.
We need to get started.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Neil.
Yeah, I think our troops at the point. I think in a. An earlier day.
St. James of St. James still?
St. James in St. James, New York.
Yep, okay, yep.
A beautiful place that is.
It is, man.
So, but I think in an earlier day, our church would have called an assistant pastor or associate, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there, Chris, no such people are around and no one will come to New York. But
don't look at me like that.
Yeah.
So
they left Brooklyn. But anyway, our church could use more experienced people in caregiving. Why? Because
your congregation is massive. Yeah.
I have people doing that. I need more.
You need more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Anyone else? I was talking with a friend today here, obviously, and he was like, man, I have elders in my congregation, but they just don't know how to do what they want to do. And I could say that again. They just don't know what they want to do and how they want to do it. And it's not enough for me as a pastor, but even if they would just like sit down with other elders that are struggling through the same thing and brainstorm with them in a room around a couple books and an instructor who kind of gets that, who may be an elder who's kind of figured out that issue, wouldn't that be so helpful, right? Neil?
The other thing we have to have a youth, a DCE with a DCO heart. And I was told by one of the Concordia colleges, no Midwest kids want to come to New York.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to find them in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll need some kind of training.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. You know, if they got the heart, but they're going to need some training.
Yeah. Yeah, I was helping one of the instructors with grading assignments, and that meant I got to read all of these really cool essays by people that were toning through the program. And there's this one woman, I can't out her, but she has a DCE heart, but there's no way she can move across the country. She doesn't really need all of those classes. She just needs enough to get started. And what we also found out is that Irvine actually has a distance DCE program, if you didn't know that. So why not get the pipe flowing, turn the tap a little bit, and then she can matriculate into that if she wants. Dust.
Well, just connects with this point exactly. I was talking to one of our pastors from the Northwest just an hour ago. He was telling me that their DCE ended up being married, moving away, and they were trying to decide what to do. And I had met with him a few months ago and prayed about it, and we prayed specifically that God might raise up someone locally to serve. And within a month, there was someone in the congregation who actually did come to him without him asking and say, "You know, I'm interested in helping with youth and family ministry, but I don't know a lot about it."
Mm-hmm.
So God answered the prayer, and then the next thing he did was invite her to participate in the mission training center, so that she could start to get her kind of backfill some of the knowledge that she didn't have. It was an immediate on-ramp gaining some of that. So it's exactly what you're talking about. And then, of course, the connection to the DC certification online is something that she's already looking at as well. But the MTC stuff really fills, it's that on-ramp that immediately allows you to move someone from, like you said, from the commute to the bench.
Yep. And start with. Yeah, if that's the only thing you remember today, that's what we're trying to do. I'm also going to be honest with you, too, that we're not going to stick with just the model that you're seeing here. Where are we headed? We have people enroll, they get together in a cohort, and they take a class with an instructor, they do homework, and that's it. That's not always easy for people to do, especially if you're working a day job and you got kids and family and cooking dinner. So part of the model going ahead will be to create content that they can access without the instructor, and then work on a weekend model with the instructor to process and digest and to work through that. So they still have content, they still have assignments. It's not taught at an academic level in that sense. It's taught in a practical level. It's not Sunday school, but it's also not, we're going to have you write 16 papers and make your master's thesis. It's, hey, these are assignments that work because they're going to give you that sort of getting forward in what you want to do. Thoughts?
I really appreciate, Dave, what you're doing here. And some of these courses are already happening, but in my context, I'm sure I'm not the only one. It's harder and harder to like hire a full-time person. And also, it kind of doesn't always make sense to hire a full-time person to ask them to do seven things when I can like raise up local people to do five or six or seven.
Correct.
It's probably from less, cost, to the congregation, and it's raising up more people and they're more invested. So any of the things that then are like equipping people for those, children, family, music, those ministries where you can focus on something and do something well, but then you're getting that theology and some of those basic organizational, strategic kind of things that would make them more effective, and not just a random volunteer, well, I'll take this on for a little bit, I don't know what I'm doing, but anything that raises them up and makes them effective, workers, that's really helpful. I don't know if I'm going to be the only one, but I'm hiring a lot of just like part-time people out of my congregation to focus on one thing, so they don't have to be like the 20 things that I am or the 10 things that a DCE is or something like that, but focus on one thing. So the more they can then be trained in those things and be really effective there, that is what I need.
Yeah, we'll train people in how to write devotions. We'll train people in how to write content, but we're not asking them to go up and preach on Sunday. We actually want you to do that, We want you to do all that stuff, We want to train people. This is my dream. I would love to have the lay people teaching all the fun Bible classes so that I have to teach the boring catechetical. No, I'm just kidding. But I have to teach the new member stuff, right? They get to go off and have the fun, right? And I have to do the things that pastors are really, that's what I'm there for, right? The basics, the fundamentals. So, I mean, that's what you're saying is really important to me as well. So I appreciate you sharing that. Neil?
Jonathan, forgive me for coming late. You may have said this.
Oh, this. Oh, by the way, your pamphlets are out of date. So whatever you ask on them. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Do these courses lump together so that at the end they say, and now you are thing?
Thank you, Neil. You have guided me to the place that I almost forgot. So I was sitting in the room with Mike, Paul, Mike, and Steve. But I mean, isn't that weird to say that all that? Like, there's just five Andrews here right now too that I know. But anyways. Michael Thomas, the president of Concordia Irvine, we were struggling with what you just said a little bit. Like, oh, well, you know, they take hours. Are they supposed to take all of the classes? And Mike said, hey, you know, that's not where we're headed with this. What we're going to do is, like, we'll create a badge. So, oh, you have a badge in Christian caregiving. And it sounds kind of hokey, but think about it for a second. Oh, you have a badge in parish education, or you have a badge in church administration. And what we don't do is we don't say, you are now an Atlantic District official deacon. We don't do that. We show the congregations, like, hey, if you're looking for somebody with this specific set of training and content, well, there that is. And if your district says, well, if a person has five badges, they're now considered this, that's fine. But that's a district level thing. Districts can create auxiliary offices that are recognized across the district. What we are here for is the congregations getting people who have that specific training, and the recognition is you got those core classes so that your church knows that you've covered those bases. And if a district says we'd like to have you take all of those badges and now you're a jack of all trades lay leader, great.
You're a legal deacon.
Yeah, an Eagle Deacon. Mike, I'd like to ask you to contribute to that, if you could. That's a really important thing.
A lot of times in the past, Mission Training Center was seen as kind of a...
Come on up here, man, so you can talk into the microphone.
Mission Training Center was viewed as a way to prepare licensed lay deacons. And it was a pathway that all three of us used as districts. In 2016, when Synod put an end to the licensed lay deacon program, everybody thought that training went away. It did not go away. We still will certify deacons if you want a deacon. And if you have someone that you are, or we have, so you're nodding your head, you're one of the few ladies in the room. Kathy's here as well.
Thank you, Kathy.
But we have the parish ministry assistant track, which is kind of the women's side of that equation. And we're happy to do that. And as districts, we'll certify them. We can't license them anymore, but we'll certify them, and then you use them as you choose. Okay? But we're going past that now to the kind of thing that we're talking about today. And Dan, when you're talking about what the stuff is that you need in your congregation, Jonathan's right. Tell us what you want, and Jonathan and the team will build the content for you.
Mm-hmm.
And we really want to do more and more one-session seminars, these kinds of things, so that we can pick up stuff, and then they go, oh, wow, that was pretty cool. I'd like to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're really hoping for is that MTC becomes your training platform, and it becomes something that we do across the country. Okay, but we're being a little bit selfish because the three districts are partnering together to say, this is what we're doing. This is what we're committed to do together. And if anybody else wants to play, we want you to play with us.
Mm-hmm.
But so anyway, I hope that gives you a little bit of background.
Very helpful.
How it's connected past. But it's way more, because a lot of people think, oh, it's just the lay deacon program.
Yeah, I haven't said anything about that, have I? I haven't said a thing about it.
And you haven't, but I just, it's still a way that we can, that we'll certify a deacon if you want a deacon. Or if you want a PM, we'll help certify them if you hit the certain qualifications. Because I think on the site, you can go to each one of the three districts, and it'll tell you what they need to take in order to have that certification.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the current stuff that we're trying to move past, because it's a new time.
Yeah, please.
So say, you know, you talk about these people that jump into the DCE program. So do these classes give them any credit towards that, or are they just...
Not yet.
Okay.
But the partnership is getting stronger is what I would say.
Yeah.
So we'll see where that goes. But our goal is if a person takes like one class and they're like, hey, I really should be doing this, we're like, go do that thing, you know. But not everybody's going to want that either.
And frankly, one of the reasons why Concordia Irvine is a very willing player with us. And they do some really significant stuff like pay all of our instructors across all the various states they're in.
And all the tax rules.
All the various tax rules. California, there's no gig work, so we have to pay by hour. I mean, all this kind of stuff that they handle for us, it's huge. Mm-hmm. But one of their dreams is, you go through their through the MTC program and you go, I'd like to do some more. Oh, Concordia Irvine's connected to this. I can check them out.
Yeah.
That's certainly part of their dream.
Yep.
And something that we would very much support. So
thank you.
I'm going to get off.
No worries. So, I mean, all of the things that you're bringing is what I was hoping that people would actually say. So thank you. Go ahead, please. And then, yeah.
Yeah, maybe just some specifics. Let's say that you were taking a course in children's ministry leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And someone in the congregation. How long will that course last? And what is the number of cohorts going through that course together?
Sonia, what do you want to say? Do you want to just like give us a guesstimate? Sonia is our program coordinator, so she actually is the boss and does everything. I just get here. I'm just here to try to smile at you. So, what would you say to that?
Our current model, our classes are 4 weeks or 8 weeks, 2-hour sessions online via Zoom. The hope in the future is that it's an asynchronous and a synchronous combination model. So right now we don't have a children's ministry class. But it would be like 4 2-hour sessions is about the content.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And to say academically, it's between a high school, kind of a junior college level academics. So what we find a lot of times is people come thinking that I can't do academic work anymore, I'm too old, I've been out of school too long. And all of a sudden they take us and go, oh, I can do this. And then they jump to an But some people, that's all they want. They want the content. You don't need to know I have to write an MRA style or Chicago style.
Right. Yeah, it's practical content, biblical framework at that level. That's the goal. And right now, as you said, it's 4 or 8, you know what I mean, in terms of 4 hours or 8 hours. So 4 weeks or 8 weeks, 2 hours each. However, Tim Bayer that was here, he and I are working on the new style, which would be downloadable content with a seminar interaction. And he does parish administration. That's our instructor for parish administration right now. Yeah.
Okay, so is the class interacting to a body of information that they've already processed somewhere, either on video or reading?
So there's an instructor that lectures, and they get to ask questions and go through feedback online on Zoom. And then they have reading assignments.
Prerequisite preparation?
Well,
before the class begins, there are very few of our instructors who expect anything before the first class. But between classes, there's work to be done, so the conversation is very
On task, absolutely, yeah. Yep, good question.
Cohorts, do you network the people? Let's say they go through parish administration and learning is so ongoing that, you know, they're solving new problems a year later.
So what we've seen in the past is when people have gone through the previous model where they had to take all the classes, they formed strong cohort bonds. And what will happen in the future, I'm going to put a question mark on because I don't know. I can tell you that when I ran this program without Zoom, again, strong bonds. Our six congregations decided to start doing circuit-level mission work, big picnics and big projects, and they stayed close together, and it really helped, honestly. Another question?
In the case where the district certifies someone, what does that certification mean?
The district decides and the district sets that. I can't answer that question.
What is big to that? Go ahead.
Yeah, Mike?
Yeah.
I can speak to that. So we're not certifying them for word and sacrament ministry. We're just simply certifying them and saying that they have passed our expectation of academic expertise and practical expertise. Their congregations where we were very clear with congregations and letting them know how we work together as a synod. Mm-hmm. And the congregations have needs at different times. And so they're looking at how do I fill those needs? So for instance, they're without a pastor for an extended period of time, all of us are in situations in the West, and this is true all over the nation right now, where on any given Sunday, it's impossible to have a pastor there. Sometimes it may go on for weeks. And so those people, men, in this situation would have
would have the expertise to be able to step in and serve as what is called right now in our Senate a lay leader, and to be able to do that effectively. I'll give you a real life situation. We have a circumstance in three of our congregations where they all worship at the same time. They make up one parish, but they're in three locations. They broadcast the sermon to three different locations. And the person who is the pastor of those three parishes actually goes to different locations. But he has people who are educated in MTC who specialize in leadership and pastoral care in their specific locations. These are small congregations. So that's the way that they're doing it, piecing it together. Most of those leaders have all been educated in some type of worship leadership or pastoral care, small P class. So that gives you an idea of what that certification might be.
Yep.
It means a different thing in each congregation. What we're saying, pretty much across the board in our three districts, is that you have actually worked through all of these things, and you are under the care, under the leadership, under the guidance of an ordained.
When I served in a congregation in Seattle, we had a guy that was trained through the Mid-Atlantic program when all of his instructors were actually from the New York program. And when he showed up at my church, I didn't know who he was. He's like, hey, I'm a vice president of Amazon Web Services. With that, I did know what that meant. You know what that means? That means like major, 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 major top level guy, Jeff Bezos reporting to kind of guy. But he also like, yeah, I went through the Mid-Atlantic program. I was like, you did what? He's like, yeah. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. And so we integrated him into the elders of our congregation, and and immediately our elders were like, wow, this is awesome, because we've got a guy, and they were all empowered. My point is that we didn't know what the district was talking about, but again, the program itself, it means a lot. Another question?
You had kind of mentioned the idea with teachers and having mm-hmm. group of teachers who aren't called.
Yep.
Bringing them in. Is there...
Nothing exists right now, but that's something I'm talking about with everybody, because even Lutheran Board for Higher Ed wants to do something. So we don't want to overstep, but we want to know, we recognize that need, so we've communicated that as well. And thank you. Yeah. We actually want to be the platform. Let me be really clear. We want to create content, but if other people have already created the content and we can be the platform for distribution, that's fine with us. I just talked with Peter Jerkin of CPH, and in all these author talks that they're doing, well, we can also do that easily. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. Let's have Andy Jones and his 10 things that you need to ask about the Bible do his little recorded thing, and then he gets to interact with people through MTC. So we're a platform, not a program, and we want to create content that's need-oriented to what you're looking for your bench. I hope that helps you. Yeah, Neil?
How much?
How much right now? Sonia?
Four-week classes are $150, and our eight-week classes are $300.
Cheap, but twice the price.
It's very expensive.
Yeah, and go ahead.
Districts also support it monetarily.
Like, but I want you to put this in your budget, okay? I'm sorry. It's great that the districts, but why, no offense, again, it's good to give the district permission, but this is a congregational training program. So this is something that's contextual. It comes from you, we help you, and it goes back to you. So it's, if I can leave you with that part of it, he said put it in the budget. We should talk about that, Let's do that. So I have a more investment.
One of the things that would be good to say too is that, and you probably said it up front, is that the R3 districts are all in on this.
Oh, yeah.
That we've made commitments in regards to just putting the foundation dollars behind it.
Yep. So the districts are covering. Yeah.
Pacific Southwest.
Totally. Yeah. So the districts are contributing to the pot. Irvine is taking care of all of the soft costs of all that taxes and stuff. And so, we're really trying to make this go. It's all hands on deck for this stuff. I wanted to share with you a couple people that said why they're investing in MTC, and then we'll come back to some more stuff. Looks like I went the wrong direction. All right, let's see if it works. So this is Jacob Eisinger, and Jacob and I were talking, and he's actually a police officer, and there are no pastors up where he's at, but he's a pastor's kid, and he's now in the SMP program, but he went through MTC first because he needed to be helpful in the congregation. So let's see if it goes forward. Of course, the volume would die at this point. We tested the volume beforehand, Sonia, and it worked just fine, so something changed. Can we up the volume on this? You know what? Let's just let it be. I'll just tell you this. We're just going to not let these people talk because it would have been great to hear their voices. But did you figure it out? Okay, let's let it be. So Jacob went through the MTC program because there was a need and he was so remote. He was like, the next Lutheran congregation is something like, how many miles away is it, Mike?
It's 85 miles.
85 miles away. And there's no way he can relocate, you know, to go to seminary and then come back. But at first he just wanted to be helpful in the congregation. And so he went through the district training, went through MTC, worked with the district, with President Lang, and now he's in the SMP program. So yeah, we do see people going to the SMP program from that. Here's another guy, if I can get the thing to go forward. Wow. Well, now it's just frozen stiff. That's all good. Try again. All right.
Hi, my name's Steve Tomac. I'm a vicar with Faith Lutheran Church in Yerington, Nevada. Over the last 2 to 3 years, I've taken several classes with the Mission Training Center. And I was asked why I chose the MTC for a source for further education. Well, first of all, they came highly recommended from several pastors that I trusted, and they had a very solid reputation for providing good Christian training and education with a Lutheran perspective. I found the classes to be challenging, but also providing real world useful application for things I felt like I needed more experience or training with. And not only did they help meet the needs, my personal needs for that education, but also really the needs for our congregation in specific areas. And so I would really highly recommend the Mission Training Center to anybody who is looking to further their Christian education and increase the foundation for their faith and actually how to take those skills and apply them in a real setting, either on an individual basis or on a congregational basis. Thank you.
He and his wife are actually here. But he wasn't going to make it in time for this, and Jacob couldn't make it. Oh, looks like we're doing it again.
Yep, now it should
work. All right, so again, I don't really have more to say. I don't want to beat you to death with this idea, but if you have more questions, now's the time. I just want to help you build your bench. It was so helpful for me and my congregation in Brooklyn and in Seattle. We were able to take over a nursing home in Brooklyn that had lost their full-time chaplain, and our deacons from our congregations and our men and women from our congregations were able to go in there and service what had been an entirely Lutheran nursing home that no longer could have a chaplain because it was for profit. And we couldn't get a pastor in there with the parameters that the for-profit owner was giving us, but our people could get in there. Imagine one of the largest congregations in Brooklyn was a nursing home that could no longer have a pastor. But our bench was built by that point, having had cohorts go through our version of the MTC. And we could carry on all the visitation. I could do sacramental ministry and they could get it. You know what I mean? And so I didn't have my deacons giving communion that way. You know, I did it, but they brought it, if that makes sense. We can talk about that another time. And it was just amazing. They ran this place in lieu of not having a pastor. So it was a cool experience. Questions and thoughts? Yes. Right behind you and then you. Yes.
Sounds like there are no challenges with it. Is there an admission process or just
Sonia? That would be a good question. I mean, there's an application process, but
it depends upon the purpose of taking the classes. If there's a certification involved, then it's through the district. So the student would apply to the district, and the district runs the program. They simply send the student to us for the education pieces. If it's a one-off, brought three elders to our pastoral care class, there's no admission. You just fill out our simple application form because we just need your contact information and you jump into a class.
Yeah. The reason I'm deferring to her too, just so you know, is because she's better at all that than I am. I also started January 1st. So I was asked to apply for this and I really wanted it. So anyways, yes.
Is there a website that describes what you offer and what's...
There it is.
Badges are and that sort of thing?
We don't have the badge system set up exactly yet.
Yeah.
It's a new idea, but you can just take one-off classes. You can take any classes you want.
Yeah.
Is there a plan to develop more stuff?
Absolutely.
Like, we expect to have these new classes.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here for, is to work with you to identify the needs, to find the instructors, to work with Irvine to develop the curriculum and content, and then to release that content back to you in partnership with you. The best way we could do that would be for you to work as a circuit and talk to me, but if it's just a couple congregations, that's great, or if one congregation is good too. I'm not adverse to doing that.
It's real positive for Concordia Irvine's participation is they help vet instructors and the syllabus. So you know that there's solid content and
yeah,
have good quality features going on.
Because if it was just me, Jesus, I'd be casting out all of those bad, you know, I'm just kidding. But I would fully access my evangelistic Southern Tennessee style, but they're not going to let me do it that way. Yeah, other questions? Sorry, Will, I love you, brother. Go ahead.
Yeah, that kind of helped clear a lot of it up. I mean, I love the practical,
mm-hmm,
brings people up from
mm-hmm,
spots in the medicine that need to be filled.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, kind of like I said, answer already, but I was thinking from just the average congregational member, here's a website, you know, I want to learn more about the Old Testament or
mm-hmm,
Christian doctrine. Or,
yep.
You know, so you can just hand the website and check it out and sign up. They don't have to go through the church, doesn't need anything.
No, but we do want your church to know and support and nurture. Also, just as a heads up, this is a little perk for our instructors. And our instructors, like I said, are not only pastors, but they get to be on the adjunct faculty of Irvine. They actually get to put that on their little like CV resume. So,
Tim came back.
Yeah.
Tim Bayer came back.
Tim is back. Tim's one of our instructors. Hey, Tim, what do you think about the program, man?
Oh, that's great.
Thanks. That was all I needed. You don't have to say anything else.
His congregation actually supports us monetarily.
Yeah. And Tim and I are actually going to be working in concert to design the first of these new classes, which is highly focused on parish administration. But it's the content that your people can watch without him having to be in the room at that moment and then get together with him and other people as like a resource to process all of that. So they still go through it. So Tim and I have been texting from Korea or Malaysia. I don't remember where it was you were at to get started on this. Other questions and thoughts? Yes?
You mentioned certification goes through the individual district, obviously depending on circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the West Coast, obviously, or in New York, is there any other?
Southeast District is heavily partnered with us, but they also kind of do their own thing. You know what I mean? But they can you explain it better than I can?
Yeah, Southeastern District runs a cohort program, and they partner with Florida Georgia as well. And they bring 15 students each fall, and they walk through the two-year course of classes that the Southeastern District said, these are what we expect to certify our folks.
Mm-hmm.
And they have an actual full-out program in their district. They are training people to create what they call word communities in their neighborhoods. And
nice.
Then with the hope that the Holy Spirit then will raise up,
Bill,
you know, saints, bring faith to those people that will
Bill
bring
Harmon.
Them to a sacramental community. But the word communities are what these
mm-hmm.
deacons are being trained to do.
Yeah. We also have people from across the country and sometimes outside of the country that take these classes as well. There's a particular pastor who's already colloquized and he's a Missouri Synod pastor. He's a Sudanese. And so he takes these classes so he can actually just process theology in English. It's a helpful medium for him to kind of get up to speed and work with other pastors when he can use the English language for theology and not just in his own community. I've been talking with people from the Eritrean and the Ethiopian community, people in the Atlantic District. We as the three districts, let me be really clear, like this is us, but we're happy to have people to come in and walk alongside us, but we're trying to make this work. Yeah.
Yeah, I know in the Atlantic District, we're talking about program.
Yeah, and I had some initial conversations with your previous DP, but you know we'll see where things head out. So, yeah, I know this guy. I talk to him every now and then too. Other thoughts? Other questions? Yeah.
Prices are fantastic. Almost rightfully so. Is there a subsidy that might?
Yes, there is.
Yes.
A subsidy.
Yeah, and I'm gonna be really straight up with you. I want to have my instructors back too, and so I've asked us to continually evaluate our compensation for our instructors. So that's a mechanism, because you know sometimes programs just stay on at the same rate and they never have that mechanism for evaluating compensation. I will tell you this, that our instructors do get paid the right rate for being an online instructor, because we did our homework on this just the other day. So we know what they're actually getting paid per hour and what other people would be. I would like to be more competitive, but we're not there yet.
Yeah, the part of Jonathan's marching orders is to move us towards self-supporting. We're really at a point where we're relaunching an entire concept. Mm-hmm. It's a very exciting time to be part of it. And when you all have topics, subject matter, mm-hmm. that is the biggest blessing to us, to be able to create the content.
Yeah. The more that you're willing to actually send people to us, the more we can scale up and get there. So if nobody gets invested in us, it'll be harder for us to move forward. But the more people you send to us, the better it will be for us, because we actually work better with a larger capacity than what we have right now. I don't know how to say that better. I mean, if we get too big, it's going to be, whoa, maybe we need to get a different guy on board. But anyways, I'm a startup kind of a guy. This is the way my brain thinks. So the more you can invest in us right now, and I mean the word invest, the faster we'll get to where we want to be. And we have a lot of good leaders that are helping us. Any other things, Mike?
So,
Dust?
Can you share what we have a booth price of these for all these classes for 10 years? 8 years?
8 years. 8 years.
Okay.
I think so. The cost that you see, or the prices that you see now, are a result of some pretty strong work that was done by the previous director, Dr. Paul Miller, when he took over the program at the Center for Applied Lutheran Leadership at Concordia Port. And you know, you can do this if you don't have a lot of bureaucracy and red tape, and that's what they did. So you're looking at what we would call a lean and mean spider machine for training lay people, and Paul really did this. Paul put that together,
mm-hmm.
and we received that. Jonathan's received that. I think Jonathan, what you're saying about fair compensation is I think a good question. But these are dynamic things that a director
mm-hmm.
for a center like this is thinking about on an annual basis, because you're listening to your instructors, you're paying attention to what's going on
mm-hmm.
in the field. But it can't be so expensive that people on the ground are going to go, I can't do that. But the flip side of that is that you do have to have some skin in the game, you know, it shouldn't
yeah.
just be free.
Yep.
It's meaningful if a person who's taking a course has to put a little something in for the course.
Yes.
These are junior level, as Sonia said, these are junior college level kinds of courses. And so think about taking anything else in local junior college and think about the cost that's associated
mm-hmm.
with that. That's what this is.
Yep.
Except we've made it a little cheaper, because your three district presidents are serious about making sure
yeah.
this thing really runs. Really grows.
Yeah.
It's in a critical moment in time.
And is it?
We are not
yeah.
officially accredited. So a junior college
yes.
pays
yes.
for an accreditation.
Yeah.
We're only accredited through the accrediting bodies that accept our work, which is the districts or Lutheran Hour Ministries overseas uses us once in a while. We've had other nonprofit organizations use us as well. So, but they're the accrediting body simply offer their classes.
Thank you guys and ladies for being here, especially. I really appreciate you taking the time to come in.
You just listened to the Now Leading podcast, hosted by the Northwest District LCMS, Leadership Conversations from a Lutheran Point of View for Christian leaders of all kinds. Take a moment after this podcast, and with everything you've just heard in mind, consider at least one action you will take. Then go and make it happen.